ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Have you ever thought about the future? Not tomorrow or next year, but what life might look 60 years from now? It's actually really hard, and we know that because 60 years ago, we asked people to try.
You all commute daily and hourly so fast through space in your private flying saucers.
Global peace and international harmony will be completely attained by the year 2000.
So will our predictions be just as wrong? I'm Matt Bevan, and from If You're Listening, this is Black Swans, a special series about why it's so hard to predict the future. It's available now on ABC Listen.
There's another announcement today, which is that with deep appreciation for his tireless contribution as Prime Minister, as Foreign Minister, and as Ambassador to the United States of America, we announce that Dr. Kevin Rudd, AC, will conclude his posting as Australia's ambassador to the United States at the end of March 2026. On behalf of our nation, we thank Kevin for his service to Australia and for taking forward Australia's interests with our closest security ally. It has been a complex area that has seen a change of presidency.
Former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd will step down early as Australia's ambassador to the United States. At the end of March, that is a year earlier than expected. It comes as the government announces a national day of mourning for the Bondi victims. Welcome to Politics Now. Hi, I'm Patricia Carvelis, and this is an emergency pod just with me telling you what I think is significant about what is a huge news day for Australia. So I'll give you the backstory. The Prime Minister called an early press conference on Tuesday, which is when I'm recording, early, like before 8 a.m. for crying out loud. We're all watching it, of course, because that's what we do. And he announced in this press conference first, and I think importantly, a national day of mourning on January the 22nd, which has been decided in consultation with New South Wales for the victims of the Bondi terror attack. Now, at this stage, I thought that's what the announcement is. It's an important announcement. It's a significant day for Australia to reflect. But then came the other announcement that ended up being, in some ways, politically at least, incredibly significant for the government, and that's the announcement that former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd, you'll recall him from being Prime Minister not once but twice, my friends, and clearly a very controversial and large figure for the Labor Party, he will step down as the ambassador representing Australia to the United States. Now, that is really significant because it doesn't just happen randomly, okay? He has another year on that contract, so to speak, on that appointment, but it's coming early. The Prime Minister says that the decision was entirely Kevin Rudd's, but said the ambassador's next role will only continue his work to advance the public interest. Rudd is leaving a year early. He has served 3 years, the Prime Minister said, clearly trying very hard to downplay the early leaving. So it brings us to the why. And why now? Well, let's not forget the history. In October, the Albanese government had to kind of deal with what was a barrage of criticism over negative comments from the US President Donald Trump about the ambassador.
Where is he? Is he still working for you?
Yeah, yeah.
You said bad?
Before I took this position, Mr. President.
I don't like you either. I probably never will.
And then the subsequent calls from the opposition that he be sacked. Now, the government, I think, rightly made the call that they don't go sacking an ambassador on the basis of an uncomfortable exchange with the president. But what is very clear from some of my conversations is, and I've had some brief ones now, as we record, as it's breaking, clearly the government is very aware that Kevin Rudd's ongoing role is a distraction and difficult because of the volatility of Kevin Rudd and their difficult exchange. In a year's time, they would have had the same problem. Will you reappoint him? And they would not have wanted to reappoint him, is my understanding. And so now they've made the call that moving him on quietly by March is the right call. Now, I use the term moving him on. That's my language, because the government says it was Kevin Rudd's call, and ultimately the way these things work is that it was Kevin Rudd's call, if you know what I mean. A lot of discussions about whether this is working and the way to frame it. Look, there's no way of seeing this, my friends, other than Kevin Rudd was a difficult appointment. It was also, can I say, a very contested appointment inside the government before he was even appointed. But since, of course, Donald Trump won the election, it's become more difficult. The Prime Minister held this press conference to announce that Kevin Rudd will conclude his posting in Washington very soon. That's at the end of March. We're recording this in January, so that's really soon. He paid tribute to Mr. Rudd's work, helping further the AUKUS pact, also mentioned what is key, which is securing Julian Assange's release in 2024 and also building relationships with both sides of politics. Now, you know, anyone who knows Kevin Rudd knows no one works harder. That is a fair assessment of Kevin Rudd, and everyone concludes that it's actually the case. Even the opposition, even in criticising him, has to always concede this man works very, very hard and absolutely hustles. But at the end of the day, my understanding is the conclusion of many in the government was that it can't work because the person who represents Australia has to be able to have a pretty good relationship with the president and the president's people, that after the uncomfortable exchange that we saw played out on the cameras, the only, can I say, negative moment we saw, because it was quite a bromance between the president and our prime minister, and in fact was a very successful meeting when finally that face-to-face meeting happened late last year. But the exchange with Kevin Rudd and how that might keep playing out potentially was something the government doesn't want to have to deal with in an ongoing way over the next year. They are trying to, as John Howard famously used to say, clear barnacles. That means get rid of things that might become ongoing difficulties. And so Kevin Rudd is going to go. Now, what is he going to do? Well, that's always the key question. There was a lot of talking up what he will do next. In fact, I'm not convinced that the talking up passes the test of grand appointments. Mr. Albanese, for instance, said that Mr. Rudd will now take on the role of the global president of the think tank, the Asia Society. That happened before, so it's a role he's actually returning to, and that's fine. It's an important role, but it's not like he's being given sort of some sort of more senior role somewhere. This is clearly moving him on, but giving him some agency over the decision making and saying it's his decision. I think what's going to happen is that the opposition, I mean, I'm recording this early on a Tuesday morning, will end up sort of welcoming it, but saying this, you know, proves that the government sort of got these things wrong. But it is interesting in the frame, if I can put it, of the government dealing with what it sees as problems that might emerge, problems that might keep coming up over the year that they want to go away. So they don't want Kevin Rudd to be an ongoing distraction, that any time an Australian journalist gets in front of the president or the president's people, questions about Kevin Rudd get asked and it's an ongoing issue. Who gets appointed next will become the next sort of flashpoint in politics. Who will it be? My prediction is somebody who is a very safe pair of hands and can demonstrate that they can have a very positive relationship with Donald Trump and the Trump administration. And I will add this for a little bit of flourish for you. I reckon the social media feed and the public statements of the next person will be keenly gone over by every single person who has any authority and power in the Labor Party to ensure that no booby traps are revealed and no one has said that next person something that becomes a problem for them. They do not want any more trouble with the Donald Trump administration, and so watch that space for the next appointment. Look, since I recorded yesterday's pod with Jacob, there was another press conference yesterday on the Monday afternoon where the Prime Minister announced that the Parliament would return early to work through hate speech laws and gun buyback scheme in the wake of the Bondi terrorist attack. So on Monday and Tuesday next week, we will have the Parliament coming back early, 2 weeks early, to deal with condolences for the Bondi victims and also these new hate laws. They are going to also be a flashpoint because they are broader than just anti-Semitism, and there are also gun laws attached to this. Now, the coalition will be under pressure to support the laws, but they want them to be more focused just on anti-Semitism and not so much on the gun buyback scheme, which will become difficult for them because the government is trying to wedge them and say, you have to support all of it. It's a whole package. You can't trade away some elements. And they will put intense pressure on the opposition to say, if you're serious about dealing with these issues, you have to support all of these laws. So next week is now framed as a very pivotal week, I think, for the government, and will be a real flashpoint between the way that the parliament comes together to resolve these issues and how these laws are scrutinised. They deal with racial discrimination more broadly, and so they're not just about anti-Semitism, although of course that is the focus and why they've been constructed, but they don't talk about other kinds of discrimination. And so others, including Allegra Spender, the member for Wentworth, will be arguing that they should be wider. And so what we're seeing from the Albanese government after the announcement of the Royal Commission and now the recalling of Parliament to try and deal with these laws and really push the Parliament into a position where they have to respond and quickly is them saying, we're setting the agenda now, we're responding, we're putting everything into this and forcing the opposition on their terms to deal with these laws. And I think that will become difficult for Susan Lee and the opposition, because to oppose the laws will be problematic for them, and it will be difficult for them to try and oppose some parts but then support other parts. And so watch that space. I think that is going to now become more difficult for the other side of politics when we know over the last month that it is actually the Prime Minister and the government that struggled. Let's not forget why the press conference was called a day of mourning, a national day of mourning for the victims of the Bondi terror attack. We will hear more about how that will look on that Thursday, January the 22nd. It will be an important day of reflection and mourning for our country. Flags will be raised at half mast. It will be significant. But returning to that other story that came in second in the announcement but was really surprising, everyone going, what? In January, you're punting Kevin Rudd. Why? Well, we know why. But a surprise announcement that I think is significant and says a lot about how the government sees its year ahead and the way it wants to manage both international relations and the domestic politics too. Look, this has been an emergency episode with just me giving you some analysis of what the Kevin Rudd decision means and, of course, the recalling of Parliament early. We'll be back tomorrow for another episode of our special interview series. It's going to be a great episode, so stick around for that. And, of course, we'll be back throughout the week too. I'll see you then.